Let's pray right quick before we get started. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, God. Lord, you said in your word to enter into your courts with thanksgiving. I mean into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. Father, we come here to do that this morning, Lord. Father, each one of us, Lord, set our hearts and minds, Lord, that we come here, Lord, to seek you, Father, to hear from you, Lord, to build up, Father God, and edify one another, God, and to be a blessing, Father. And Lord, we set our hearts and our minds, Lord, and our focus and our attention upon you, Lord, this morning, Lord. Holy Spirit, we trust in you to speak to us this morning. For the Word of God says that you are our teacher, you're our leader, you're our guide, you're our counselor, our comforter. So we look to you this morning, say things that I don't even say to people this morning in the name of Jesus. For Lord, you know what we need. And Father, you are the one that is the supply, Lord. For you are the great I am, you said. So Lord, we set our attention and look into you, Father. We come into one mind, one heart, one accord, one spirit, Lord, with your spirit, Lord. Holy Spirit, I ask you to lead us and guide us in everything that we say and everything that we do this morning. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Whew, he's here, right? Sometimes he's always with us. The Bible says he never leaves us and he never forsakes us. But how many knows he's not always in manifestation or in operation at all times? And the Bible says wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty, which is freedom. So what I'm going to be talking about this morning is Spirit-led. Now, a lot of us, we may know quite a bit about it. Some of us may know nothing about being Spirit-led. But how many knows, even if you know, it's kind of like the other night, Aubrey had spelt sandwiches. Now, spelling was one of my best subjects in school. I didn't even really have to, you know, study spelling or whatever. It was just kind of naturally. But when I looked at her word sandwiches, I'm like, ah, that don't look right. But now I only went to the 8th grade, and I've been out of school for, well, it's 40 years, 40-something years, long time, in decades. Anyway, but when I looked at that, I'm kind of like, I don't think that looks right. And I'm like, I'm spelling it, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I don't think. So I turned around there to ask April. I said, do you spell sandwiches with a T or without the T? I said, I think it's without the T, ain't it? She said, yeah, it's without the T. Why am I saying that? Because even if you, how many knows, if you know things, if you've not heard it in a while, you might need to brush up a little bit. And how many knows you can't overdose on the Word of God, so you can't ever get too much. And he knows exactly what we need. So we're going to be, title this morning is Spirit-led. And I'm not talking about any spirit. There's a bunch of them out there. I'm talking about Holy Spirit-led. Because how many knows once you get born again, all you did was start the process, right? When you ask Jesus to come in your heart, forgive you of your sins, the Bible calls that being born again. Then the Bible says you are not your own. You have been bought with a price, and it says glorify God with our body. So the next thing that we need to do is start learning and studying the Word of God and seeking to be led by His Spirit. Why? Because whatever He says or whatever He tells you to do, that's the only thing that's going to work. Amen? I mean, because when I get in trouble, I have my favorite scriptures. Y'all don't? Yeah. If you study the Word of God at all, a lot of us, we got our favorite scriptures. You know, you start going through something or another or whatever, and you think, the Bible says, no weapons formed against me will prosper. Romans 8:28, that's one of Scotty's favorites, you know. My 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking to show himself strong for Teresa. That's one of my favorite ones. But how many knows it's not my favorite scripture that's going to work? Because, see, there's 66 books in this Bible, and I don't know how many chapters or how many verses. So what I need, the Holy Spirit knows what I need, and he knows the word that I need and the time that I need it. So how many knows that I can't just take over there a certain scripture and try to apply it in every area of my life because it will not work? That's kind of like John 15:7. Y'all remember, I don't know, I guess it's probably been a couple years ago, those of y'all that was here. And I told y'all that the Lord has spoke to me and told me I did the service that Wednesday night that what we asked him he was going to do. But now we had just come off of an 8 or 9 week series of Mark 4, which it talks about this is how the kingdom operates. The sower sows the word, your heart is the ground, the word of God is the seed, and you got to keep it through all these different tests. Remember the trials, the tests, the cares, all of this stuff, the stony ground. You got to keep the word through all of those. Why? Until it grows to manifestation. But what we like is McDonald's. And if McDonald's takes too long, I'm getting upset. Y'all not saying nothing. Sandy's smiling. She must have done it too. I mean, when it says drive-through, throw it in my window as I go by, because I'm expecting drive-through. I don't expect stop, wait 5 minutes, pull up, go to the stop sign out there, and you'll bring it to me. I'm expecting drive-through. How many of y'all ever stood at the microwave waiting on microwave popcorn, and you're like, hurry up? That would be Scotty. I've thought that before about the toaster, especially on Wednesday morning when I've got the grandkids and we're getting ready for school, and then they want extra waffles or whatever, and I'm like, what is wrong with you, toaster? Hurry up. God's not like that. But we live in a society that is like that. And how many knows as Christians, we can't let that get in us. Because the thing about God is sometimes you got to seek Him. I can't just use the scripture of Romans 8:28. Or I can't just use the scripture of 1 Peter 2:24. Now, I got into this a little bit last week, but we're going to get further what I really want to talk about this week, hopefully. According to 1 Peter 2:24, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. Already done. According to Isaiah 53, Isaiah was prophesying what was coming, but how many of it's already been done. So according to the word, healing's already been paid for me, but now I can't just take that scripture and just use that. Y'all getting real quiet. I know I got the right word today. Why is that? I see that scripture. I take that word, Isaiah 53, 1 Peter 2:24, all of those healing scriptures. That's what I base my believing for my healing on. You get it? Everything I believe has to find its basis or its foundation in the Word of God, or it is not the Word. It is not eternal. And everything that is not the Word is not eternal. That means it's temporary. Therefore, the Bible says it's subject to change at any time. But the Word and the Spirit never changes, right? So yes, I base believing for my healing, or that I have been healed, or healing is available to me based on the Word of God, but now it's not the Word of God that gives the life or that does the work. This is written word called Logos. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It talks about how that word is the Christos. That would be like the breathed on, inspired Word of God. Scotty's reading the Bible before he ever went to the jails or anything like that. And he's reading the Bible, and he's over there in Timothy, and it's meaning nothing to him, you know, but he's reading his Bible like we should. The Bible talks about how the Word of God is food for our spirit, right? We don't want to go a day without eating, do we? Natural food, I don't like it. I like to eat, you can tell. But I need to eat my spiritual food. The Bible says I'll grow thereby, right? But anyway, he's reading the Bible one day, and all of a sudden, he gets to that part where Paul told Timothy over there, he said, do the work of an evangelist. Well, when he got to that written word, which is Logos, and he read that says, do the work of an evangelist, the Holy Ghost did what's called the quickening. He quickened that word to him, and he made it alive, and he knew that he knew, hey, God's talking to me. Do the work. He didn't call him an evangelist. He said, do the work of an evangelist. What's that mean? That's God-breathed word. That word brings inspiration. That word brings life, right? Do you understand what I'm talking about? This is just written word, and we should read it, and it's good, and we should know it. Because how many knows the Holy Spirit never operates outline of this word? The Bible says God hates divorce. So what? If God hates divorce, you really think the Holy Spirit's going to be telling me to divorce my husband? Ooh, we're getting too quiet. See, they say now the divorce rate is almost higher in the church, the body of Christ, than what it is in the world. How many knows that should not be? The Bible says the love of God, according to Romans 5:5, has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The Bible says over there in Galatians 5:22-24, the first fruit of the Spirit, the work that the Holy Spirit within me, if you've been born again, He's in you, accomplishes, is the love of God. The love of God, He calls it, it's not charity. I mean, that's how they translated that. But how many knows there's a filio love, that's brotherly love. But then there's agape, that is an unconditional love of God, right? God loves me unconditionally. There's nothing I can do to make God love me more. There's nothing I can do that'll make God love me less, right? Now we're standing in line with Scripture, right? Now He's not always pleased with what I do. The Bible talks about how I can grieve the Holy Spirit, right? If I'm disobeying, how many knows you love your kids at all times, but you're not always pleased with them? Travis didn't say nothing. He says, I should always be pleased with what he does. But anyway, let's stay on topic here. So anyway, the Holy Spirit, he's the one, he leads us and he guides us. And the Bible says he'll quicken us to this word. He'll make it alive. So that means that I can't just pick out a word or because the Bible says something and just take my stand on just that, not seeking him. And how many know sometimes it takes a while to find out what he's saying? For an example, I kept having this reoccurring, I mean, every week just about, of a UTI, urinary tract infection. I couldn't figure out why. I mean, I drank mostly water all the time. Every now and then I might drink a glass of tea or half a Sprite or something, but mostly water. Well, yeah, I take my stand on 1 Peter 2:24 and Isaiah 53, all of those, that's what I'm basing on. Healing belongs to me, right? Jesus himself said, healing is the children's bread, right? I take it, I eat it, all of that. So I base my healing, my believing for my healing or that I have it to receive it or whatever based on the word. But then I'm on my way to work one day. I was cleaning houses at the time for a lady in Arab. And I'm on my way to work and I said, Holy Spirit, he's my helper, right? Now, I don't pray to him, but I talk to him. He's the one that's in here, right? The Bible says God's on his throne and Jesus is sitting beside him on his right hand. But the Holy Spirit, if you're born again, he's in you and me. So I look to him and I ask him. I said, is there something that I need to be doing? Because now I've took my stand on this word and nothing's changing. It keeps happening and keeps happening. Why? Because that's not what he's saying to me. So I asked him that. And before I can get to Arab in here, not out here and not up here, I said, spirit-led, spirit's in here. It's kind of like the core of your being. The Bible talks about the heart. You can translate that also spirit when you look that up. He's in here, in your spirit, man. The part of you that's going to leave here one day, right? Not this flesh, physical body, and not out here and not talking to other people. But all of a sudden, I hear this on the inside, drank an extra bottle of water a day. And I thought, what in the world? Water's almost all I drink. Anyway, don't override what you hear. See, if you're believing him to talk to you, then when he tells you whether you like it or you don't, or you think it's the right thing to do or you don't, just do it. Ain't that what Jesus' mama told the people over there with the water pots? Whatever he says, just do it like Nike. Just do it. Right? So I don't have to like it. So anyway, okay, I started drinking a bottle, extra bottle of water. That stopped. Why? Spirit. Not 1 Peter 2:24. Not Romans 8:28. As far as I know, that's not in the Bible, drink an extra bottle of water a day. But the Holy Spirit, he knows it's not outside of the Word, right? But anyway, that stopped. So therefore, I had to take time to see what he's saying. But see, a lot of times we either don't know, or we're too lazy, or we don't want to take the time to seek the Spirit. We want to just pray and 1 Peter 2:24, everything. Well, the Bible says, by his stripes you're healed. Bible says, by his stripes. And go off on my way and wonder why nothing's changing. Wondering why I'm still sick. Y'all not saying nothing. Why? Because, see, it's not in the written word. It's in whatever the Spirit is saying. The Bible says, y'all remember the story about Jesus when he came to John the Baptist to be baptized? Y'all remember that, right? At the River Jordan. Well, he gets over there, and the Bible says that John baptizes him after a little squabble there. He didn't really want to. But anyway, he baptizes him. And the Bible says that when Jesus came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove, and he never left it. Do you go back and you study and you read, and you will find nowhere that Jesus did not one miracle until after the Holy Spirit came on him. You go over there to Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. The Bible talks about how in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth and all that, and there was darkness, and God said, let there be light. But you read on down, it says, and the Holy Spirit was hovering over the earth. God speaks, but it is the Holy Spirit that does the work. Y'all remember Jesus, he said, I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say. How did he hear it? Inside by the Spirit, just like me and you. If he didn't, then he couldn't say anything when we don't. Right? He left his weight in glory, stripped himself of being God, came in the form of a man, had to have the written word, right? Y'all remember over there when he's 12 years old and he's over there disputing with him in the synagogue about the word, and the Bible says that he had to go back home with his mom and his stepdaddy or whatever, and the Bible says he grew in wisdom and in grace with man and with God. He had done no miracles. But yeah, he was well versed in the word. But he did no miracles. The Bible talks about in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus. God anoints me and you too when we get born again. How God anointed Jesus, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He did not and could not do that until he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Why? The Holy Spirit is the one that does the work. That's just like Johnny. He's usually the one starts the service most of the time. And Johnny gets up here, you know, and most of the time he'll say, anybody got a praise report or whatever? Sometimes, Johnny, we just sit there and we look at you. Why is that? Ain't nobody being inspired to say nothing. Then sometimes, there have been at different times, I know, that somebody just says some off the wall something or the other because you're looking at us, Johnny, and it feels kind of weird. No, it's not your fault. Don't do that. We don't need to hear from you. We're getting really quiet now. See, I believe today that too many churches, too many Christians are not being led by the Spirit. We come in the doors, we go through the motions, we sing our songs, we hear our preaching, or whatever that the case might be, and we turn around and we go back home. That's not what church is supposed to be. That's not what I find what it was in the book of Acts whenever they come together. They was always, sometimes the earth was shaking and quaking, right? Because God himself was showing up. But now they was being led by his Spirit. And when we're led by his Spirit, y'all know that can tell the difference, right? Those of y'all that was here. Y'all remember the service whenever Shannon was here and Dave was back there. And I mean, Johnny, almost everybody was in here who aspired to say or do something, wasn't they? Y'all remember that? It was like popcorn, there and there and there and there. Oh, and it was good what everybody was saying. Why? That was him leading you. How do you know a lot of times, most of the time when he's leading you, like in a service or out there or what, you feel an inspiration. That paper that's back there, I was inspired by the Spirit of the Lord. I'm sitting there waiting on time to leave to go to church one morning, a few weeks ago, months, whatever it was. And all of a sudden, and we had been on the love of God and in the book of Acts and all that, and I wasn't thinking about it or anything, but all of a sudden, I could see, and the Holy Ghost said, put a paper back there. Let everybody write their needs down. If they have a need in this church, this body. Listen to me. That paper back there is not for your mom and daddy. That paper back there is not for your friends. It's not for your cousins. It's not for your neighbors. It is for every member of this part of the body. So when you write down your need, be specific. If you need a new shirt, put on there extra large, medium, whatever it is. If you need $400, put on there $400. Don't put your name. Why? We're not into embarrassing anybody. Then whenever somebody is inspired, hear what I'm telling you, inspired. We don't need somebody bringing 5 study Bibles. Somebody wasn't inspired. Ooh, we're really getting quiet now. Somebody's got on there back there. I seen on that paper. I mean, I was so excited about that paper. I was saying it every service. Now I'm like, God, wait, somebody putting a need on there now? But anyway, excuse me, I walked past it one day, or I think it was on a Wednesday night, and I seen somebody put a study Bible, and I thought, woo, glory, somebody wants a study Bible. And I'm like, I looked inside, and I'm like, and I'm like, gosh, doggone it, can't I just do it? You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't for me to do. Every time I walk past that paper and I read that study, because I'm looking, what's on that list? What's on that list? I'm a giver. And I know he said do it. How many knows it's not just to meet the needs on that paper? Sometimes you need to meet somebody's need because God wants to do something for you. It is the generous soul, the Bible says, shall be made fat. But it's not just for everybody to do. Somebody's got on their right now, you know, they're looking for an office desk or whatever. Well, if you've got an office desk or whatever, you see that and you're inspired, it's for you. Sometimes it's just an inspiration. Sometimes it's like the Bible says, if you see your brother in need and you shut up your bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in you? Sometimes it's like you don't have it, and all of a sudden, just for some reason, other than, that's the Holy Ghost, you just have a love and a compassion. You just need to meet that need. You can't help yourself. I know before my sister passed away and went to be with the Lord, and my brother-in-law, Bo, the Spirit of the Lord came on me like that, or rose up in me, however you want to say that. And I had always done things for my sister and my brother-in-law, you know. You love your family, you know, and do stuff for them or whatever. Then at other times, I'm like, well, y'all got yourself in this mess. Y'all just going to have to get out. I'm not being inspired at all. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. It was, probably 6 months, something like that. Anyway, before both of them passed away, that this compassion started coming up in me toward both of them. And it was like I would give them money, and I'd say, don't pay me back, you know. And I'd do this for them and that for them. And I went over there at her house one day, you know, and she couldn't do much at the time, at this time, because when that stuff would flare up, she couldn't do much. And anyway, so me and Mama would go and clean her room or whatever for her. And I'm over there, and this washing machine, it worked good, other than when it went to spin, you'd find it at the bathroom door instead of at the bathroom wall. And it's just bam, 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 bam. And I'm like, what in the world is wrong with that washer? And they're like, well, I don't know, that's just how it does. And it washed and spinned good, but it walked across the floor. Anyway, I was over there one day and I heard all of that. And I go home, you know, because we was washing clothes, and I go home. And on the inside, I have got to buy them a washing machine. I've just got to. Well, I call Mama and I tell her, because we're supposed to meet over there the next day to do some more, I don't know, I guess take them out to eat because we're doing that too. Whatever we're going to do the next day. And I told Mama, I said, listen, I said, I'm going to have to load them up and take them somewhere and let them pick out the washing machine they want. And she's like, oh, no. Listen, don't let anybody talk you out of what you're inspired or the compassion of God. Because they don't have it, they can't see it, and they don't feel it. Sometimes when I'm having that and somebody tries to talk me out of what I'm telling you, it's like I'm about to cut your head off. It's like I get so angry in here. I'm not talking about up here. In here. Why? Because it's the Spirit of God that's moving on you or in you or through you to do something. And how many of you need to do it? Sometimes it's like you can't help yourself. You've just got to get it done. But there's always a joy and an excitement. It's not a dread or like Johnny calls a Debbie Downer or a drag. Oh, God, I just got to go buy them a washing machine. Got to do something for them again. That's not an inspiration. Most of the time, that's the devil or you're just tired of the washing machine or whatever. But anyway, so I tell Mama, you know, and she tries to talk me out of it a little bit, you know, because she hates for me to spend money or whatever, you know. Anyway, I don't know what the deal is. And I told her, I said, I'm going to buy them a washing machine now. So anyway, we get over there the next morning, and we're going to wash some clothes, and she tells me, I don't know what happened to that washing machine, but it just quit yesterday. I told her the night before. Well, I've got a compassion. I don't have it all the time, but I've got this compassion that's rising up. What is that? That is a leading of the Holy Spirit. The love of God is going through you, out of you, to a specific person, and it's for a time. That went on for a time. I loaded them up. We went over there to Onion. I took them in there. I said, okay. I said, pick out whatever washing machine you want. I said, you ain't got to buy the cheapest and you ain't got to buy the highest. I said, buy it because that's the one that you want. Well, anyway, they go on. They picked them out a washing machine and still going today. And after a while, I don't know, maybe it was there for a couple months, that lifted and I no longer had that. Now, I still loved them, you know, just like I had before, but there wasn't this compassion going out of me that I have just got to do, got to buy that washing machine or got to do this for them or got to do that. Sometimes that'll be there for a time and then it'll lift. That's your leading. When that compassion is there, that's your leading. When it's not, there's not a leading. Y'all get what I'm telling you? See, the day and hour that we live in, you better get real good at being led by the Spirit of God. It may save your very life. He may keep you from deception that you'll get in if you're not. For an example, just like this. Now, y'all went to that revival up there, right? It was good, wasn't it? I didn't go. But, I mean, it was good, wasn't it? Anyway, I believe it was good. I mean, I heard testimonies about it. I heard some people got healed of cancer. I heard some people got saved. Some people baptized in the Holy Ghost. Different things. I mean, works of the Lord. But now we had somebody call us twice trying to get us up there to that revival. And somebody, if I told you who it was, you would know who it was, and y'all would believe, well, surely they was led, you know, or whatever. How many knows? Even I can miss it. Even you can miss it. You know, anybody can miss it. But anyway, me and Scotty, we heard about the revival, and I mean, we went to revival. How many knows there's revivals going on all the time somewhere? I just went to a Holly Pond the other day, and I seen on the side of the road they had a tent out there saying, tent revival every night at 7 p.m. Well, when I saw that, I thought, glory to God, a tent revival, that's good. And I looked on the inside, and it was nothing. What's that mean? I can go where I cannot, but probably not. I'm not supposed to be in every revival that comes around. Well, anyway, somebody calls us, you know, and tells us that's going on, which we had done heard about it. And when I heard about it, I looked on the inside. Good things. God's going on up there. And when I looked on the inside, it was like, no. Well, then a little time goes on, and somebody called Scotty and told him, you know, about it and everything, and said how God was moving and all of that. And he told me, you know, and we looked inside again, and nothing. Now what do we do? We're looking for the witness. The Bible talks about in Romans 8:14 that the sons of God are to be led by the Spirit of God, right? And that he bears witness where? In our spirit, not in my head. Not out here by three red cars going by. That's Gideon. Gideon was not born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, being led by the Spirit of God. Things have now changed. Now, instead of being led from out here, we're supposed to be led from in here. Why? Holy Spirit lives in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? If you've been born again, the Bible says in Romans 8, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead abides within you, he'll quicken you. He'll quicken your body. He'll quicken you in your spirit, right? Make things alive to you. But then he also bears witness that we are the sons of God. And if you're a son or daughter of God, he'll bear witness in your spirit with a yes or with a no. So anyway, they call, you know, so we look again. Nothing, no witness, no nothing, no inspiration, no desire, no nothing. Well, a few more days go by, they call again. And I'm like, what do you think? We didn't hear you the first time or what? I'm just telling you what I'm thinking. And Scotty tells me again, you know, that they call. So I look again. Nothing. No witness, no inspiration, no desire. So guess what? I don't go. Why? I have nothing about it. When you have nothing about it, when there's no witness, then sometimes when I look on the inside for a witness, what do I mean by a witness? It's kind of like if I ask Sandy something other, she's like, and I feel, yeah. And I asked her about it, and she's like, oh, yeah, that's a witness. That's an agreement. Do you understand? We're saying and want the same thing. But if I was to be yeah about something, and I was to ask her, and she's like, oh, no, there's no agreement. There's no witness there. You understand? It's the same thing on the inside of here. A lot of times I'll ask, and I hear this, like, it makes me think of Family Feud. When I hear that, I'm like, whoo, that's a major no-no. Do not. Why? We can hear all kinds of good deals. Lord of the body of Christ is way too trusting. Why do you have reason to trust somebody just because they say something? I can't tell you how many people, how many churches have went under because they got an agreement with somebody coming along, some pastor, some preacher, something other. Kind of like one time it got in the church and we was going to or whatever, and it was actually a pyramid scheme. But they didn't call it that, and I know the one that brought it to the church did not think it was that. I know they was doing it innocently, but they was not led, other than money. You better hear what I'm telling you. Money, according to Scripture, is not your leader. A good deal is not my leader. A sale is not my leader. I might even have to pay extra for something. If I got a leading about it, you better believe I'll give you extra. Whatever he tells me to do, right? Whatever it is that he tells you. What if that compassion is coming up, that's your leading. The Bible also says we'll be led forth by peace. If you're thinking of, a lot of times I just think about something, and when I'm thinking about it, I just kind of look down in here, see what I'm sensing on the inside here. And sometimes I don't even say nothing, and I get a, yeah, that's good. Y'all remember the story about the Apostle Paul? He's thinking about going on a missions trip over there. I can't think of it now if it was Greece or somewhere that it was. And the Bible says that Paul wrote, he said, the Holy Spirit forbid me. Y'all remember that? He forbid me to go over there. Well, guess what? He didn't go. Well, now the Bible says go into all the world and preach the gospel. You're not doing right, Paul. See, you got to have the leading of the Holy Spirit. What do you do at the time that you need to do it? Because only the Holy Spirit knows. But then how many knows later on? He said, okay, I got a release. I can come to you now. Right? He had a dream. The Bible says that there was a man from Macedonia over there saying, come over here to us. That was his leading. He leads in dreams. He leads in visions. But how many knows every dream ain't him? Sometimes you had too much pizza or burritos or all that stuff Samantha eats there on Facebook. I don't know what all that stuff's called. It's spicy anyway. How many know? You can have too much of that sometimes and have a dream or a vision or something or another. So I don't care what your dream or your vision is. Look in here. Look for the witness. Look for the inspiration. Look for the compassion. Because we have to learn at all times how to be led from within. When we come to these services, we don't need to just sit here and just blab out something. Why? There's keys to the service and the Holy Spirit holds the keys. When we come here, He's always wanting to do something. You don't turn God, I've heard people say, well, you don't turn God on and off. No, you don't. He's always on. When is He ever not wanting to do something? When is He ever not wanting to bring salvation to somebody? When is He ever not wanting to bring a word of edification, exhortation, and comfort to somebody, which is the gift of prophecy? When is He ever not wanting to do that stuff? Never. Didn't Jesus do it? He went about what? Doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. God wants to do the same thing today, but how many knows He does not move where He's being grieved? What do I mean by that? What I mean by that, just say you just blab something out to be saying something in a service. And that's not what He's saying. How many knows the devil would like to take every service in a certain direction that's not the Spirit of God? And the way he does that is through people. Just like when we come into this church, how many knows every one of us should come into this church to use our faith. I'm in here, I'm ready, I'm looking to you, God, I'm listening for you, God, not to me or Scotty or whoever's talking, but to you, God, to edify, to bring something to the services. The Bible says, howbeit when we come together, every one of us is supposed to have a song or a hymn or a teaching or a preaching or something. So guess what? When we get here, sometimes we may need to pray. Because see, the more carnal you've been being all week, it's going to be real hard to get up on Sunday morning and, bam, be real spiritual all of a sudden. And I'm not talking about you've been sinning all week. Sometimes it's just you've had your mind on work. You've had your mind on your problems. Your kids are acting up. Or whatever you've been going through, something, whatever the case, that's carnal. It's just natural, right? But the Bible says spiritual people set their minds in Romans 8. They on purpose set their minds on spiritual things. Things not pleasing to the flesh, but pleasing to God. But he says fleshly people, or people that's going to be led by the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh, the things that gratifies the flesh, or the problems of the flesh and all of that. So sometimes even when we get in, just like this, for instance, and I know it's not going to feel good, but we're going to do it. Sometimes it may be a little awkward. If what, just like Travis or whoever's leading praise and worship, we need the right song at the right time. Not any song. Just like Sunday school, we need the right. Go over there. Beth can't do it, but gosh, I didn't get no scripture. We're out of time here, 15 minutes. Let's look at. Now, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. It's good for edification, correction, all that stuff and everything. But then how many knows, he says in Proverbs 15, 23, a word is good in its season. It's not any word that I just want to pick out. I could talk about a lot of things. I've been saved a long time, know a lot of what the Bible says. You know, or a little bit about what it says. I could talk about a lot of different stuff. But how many knows the only thing he's inspired me to talk about is the only thing that's going to be any good when I get up here for the time. Right? Let's look at Proverbs 15. So guess what? Travis gets up here. He believes he's being led. He starts out, he thinks he's got the right song, but then if he gets up here and starts singing it and has something on the inside, this is not the right song. Stop and start with the song we're supposed to be on. Why? We ain't going to go through no 15, 20 minutes of the wrong song. Why? We need to be led. If we missed it, we missed it. If I get up here, I got something in my heart, I think I'm doing the right teaching, but once I get up here and I feel a shift in the spirit, this is the wrong direction and I'm supposed to go, I'm going to stop and we're going that direction. Why? Because what is the point in carrying on with the wrong thing? Well, we wouldn't want everybody to know. Oh, they know. They know. Don't y'all know? I know y'all know. Y'all are not babies in here. Y'all would know. And y'all have known at different times. Just as well as I've known at different times. But here in Proverbs 15, let's get a little word here. 23, in the King James Version, it says, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? 23 in the Amplified. He says, a man has joy in making an apt answer, and a word spoken at the right moment, how good it is. But how many knows a word spoken at the wrong time or a wrong word, it's like yuck. And like I said, we all know it. Now let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, since we're here real close. See, it's not what I say is going to work. It's not what you say is going to work. It's whatever the Holy Spirit is saying of the word at the time. That's all that's going to work. That's all that's going to accomplish anything. Paul told him, he said, I didn't come to you, he said, enticing words of man's wisdom. There is a wisdom that is of the world. He said, I didn't come to you in that kind of wisdom. He said, but I came to you in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're looking for, amen? So here in Ecclesiastes 3, I'm going to read this in the King James. He says, to everything there is a what? Time or a season. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to loose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. He says, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has set the world in their heart, he says, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. But notice what it says, God's made everything beautiful in its time. There's a time for war. Absolutely. Just like some of the stuff that's going on. There's a time for that. But how many knows? There's also a time for peace. You don't stay in one season all your life. Even the earth doesn't stay in one season. We got four. We got winter, spring, summer, fall. And how many knows? With every season, something new comes. Right? Them trees out there during fall of the year, it looks like they're dying. Everything's falling off, right? It's not dying. It's just going out of its season, and it's going what they call dormant. It's still just as much alive as what it was before. But now it's out of its time of blooming. It now is out of its time of producing. Do you realize sometimes you go through those seasons too? There'll be times, if you've ever noticed, that it's like, God, it just don't seem like I'm growing. It just don't seem. Now I'm talking about if you're reading the Word and you're spending time with Him, don't matter what it feels like. I mean, if you're just laying on the couch eating donuts 24/7, you're not growing at all other than fatter in the flesh. Should have been there, done that too. But I mean, if you're seeking Him and spending time with Him, there's times that you go through, it seems like you're not growing. It seems like God's not moving for you. That's just a season. Just continue on. The Bible says you will reap in due season if what? You faint not. Continue on, regardless of how it feels. Keep on going after Him. Keep on reading and studying the Word. Why? Because your season for blossoming and blooming is going to come if you don't quit. Why? Because there's a time for every season. And then when you get to that time, you may not see it, and people will start doing, "Woo, I'm telling you, that was a good thing you said the other night." Oh, well, it was. And then somebody, you get up, kind of like Mac, what you hear Mac say, you know, how encouraging it is to him. Feels like he wasn't doing nothing or getting nowhere, you know. And then people's coming to him like, "Mac, that was good, you know, and you're doing better," or whatever the case might be. And he's like, "Oh, well, I am, ain't I?" Y'all understand what I'm saying? But see, there's a time for everything. Just like right now, the time that we're in, according to the Spirit of God, is a time that God is bringing unity and peace. And He said by the Spirit of prophecy that we will again, once again, be the United States of America. Only the Spirit of God can do that. Now, does that mean every single person in the United States is going to agree? No. But that spirit of division. See, the enemy has come and caused a spirit of division. He's done it in the church. He's done it in the world to where just people are just so divided, to where they was so much hurt. But the Bible says the prophecy says God's bringing healing. There's a woman going to come that's going to bring in the oil and the wine. She's going to be an Esther to the United States, according to the prophecy. Why? Because, see, the time that we're in, the Bible says in the book of Joel, but then He also did it in the book of Acts, and He says He'll do it again. That in the last days He'll pour His Spirit out upon all flesh, right? I'm telling you right now, this is coming to the outpouring, and it is the last one. The next one that comes, I'm talking about the great world, it will be World War III. And how many knows that will be a time for the war? Why? Because God has set all the times and the seasons, even when the devil and people try to change them. That's how come y'all saw we was headed for one direction and God come in and has turned that thing around. Now Trump is going over there, and I don't care what you think about Trump. He is God's man for the season. Just like what I'm doing right now, I don't care what you think about me. This is my time in my place for a season. But how many knows there's going to come others after me if time goes on that is supposed to be in this place, and it will be their season. So right now, it's not the time for us to be at war. We've been at war. We was in the Afghanistan war, what, for 21 years? For what? And God said, now is the time of peace. Now is the time of unity for the body of Christ, for the church. Why? Because God's got things He's got to do before He comes, before He sends Jesus out on those clouds to get us, right? He's got to do the great wealth transfer. Oh, is it coming? It is God is coming with a freight train of goodness for His people. And even for the lost, why He loves them too. And there's going to come an end time harvest that we have got to get in. There's people out there that God has anointed and pointed for just this part of the body to reach. The church over there, God has set apart that they're supposed to reach. And I've been praying, God, don't let us lose a one of the harvest that we're supposed to get in. And God, help us to reap in all the harvest, God, that we're supposed to get. I'm talking about people. I'm talking about souls. That's like the giveaway. I mean, it is like it is burning on the inside of me. I got to get these people a Bible. I got to ask them, do you have a Bible? Do you have a Bible? You know, if they ain't got a Bible, I have one guy. He was telling me every time. I say, you need somebody to come pray for you? No, I don't believe in all that. And then I said, do you need a Bible? I told you I don't believe in all that. I said, okay. I thought, well, you're going to need to, but I didn't see it, and I just turned and I walked on. Every time he comes, I asked him, would you like for somebody to come over and pray for you? No, I don't believe in all that, except this last time. This last time, I said, you need somebody to come pray for you? He said, no. I said, you need a Bible? He said, no. And I said, okay, and I turned around and started walking off, and he said, but I thank you anyway. Can you hear the softness that's coming? See, we don't just do this for food. We're not doing this just for their physical needs to be met. God has given us a doorway through this giveaway. Just like down here, we're not just there. Now, I mean, we are to clothe the naked and all of that stuff and feed the poor and the hungry and all. But God doesn't just do it for one reason. It is an open door. It's an opportunity for us. So the Bible talks about in the last days we need to redeem the time. Bind up every opportunity, right? Don't let anybody get past you without asking them. you know, would you like to pray? Can I pray for you? Like Sandy was saying, you know, she's been having this desire. Can I pray for you? You know, and a lot of times when you're at Walmart or somewhere, you know, and you say, well, somebody say, well, just pray for me. You say, we'll do it this way. Well, okay, well, give me a hand. Let's just do it right now. That's really not what they're wanting. It don't matter. Do it anyway if they'll let you do it. Because right now might be your time. You understand what I'm saying? We have to buy up the time. We have to ask them out there, are you born again? Do you want born again? Because you never know when God's dealing with them. You know, and I've been praying. The Bible says no man comes to the Father lest he's drawn. So I've been praying, Holy Spirit, knock upon their heart. Draw them. Deal with their heart to be born again. Convict their hearts of sin and convince them of righteousness. Why? So that they're ripe when they come here. So all we do is pick the harvest. Bring in the harvest, right? Jesus told us, he said, pray to the Lord of the harvest, which we know is the Father. He said that he would send laborers into the harvest. Cassandra, we've been praying for you for a long time. Nita, we've been praying for you. All of you that are here, and y'all are not the only ones. Why? Because we got to get in the harvest, and we can't do it with just 8 people. Because this building is not even big enough for the harvest that God is going to have for us to reap. The vision that Scotty saw and then the painting that his brother-in-law brought him, it was a harvest of people with Scotty out front standing in the same line with them. And it was like going over hills. And you could not see the end of the people. And that's the harvest that me and you, that God has called all of us to bring together, to get in, right? So we got to be led by the Spirit, not just out there in that line saying and doing anything. And I got to stop because we're actually a couple minutes over, and I don't know why I can't have 5 minutes more, but anyway. Discipline. Okay, we're going to put him on the timer, right? We're going to see if he's disciplined. No, I'm just kidding. All right, does anybody have anything to share quickly or anything before we close? All right, we'll race us to 11. I think surely y'all can get to the bathroom back 5 minutes, can't you?